Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future. Living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show here on another Friday afternoon. Real fast before we jump in with our guest, if you're looking for some pro wrestling tonight, Championship Wrestling USA in Glendon, Tennessee, and WCWO in Indianapolis, Indiana tonight, tomorrow night, Supreme Wrestling happening in Madison, Indiana, PPW happening in Bedford, Indiana. So make sure if you're looking for some live pro wrestling, get out there, be safe, enjoy it, and support your local independents. And right now I want to bring back to the show a returning guest. She is the Exotic Panther, Tyra Rusume. Tyra, thank you very much for being back on the show today. Great to have you back with us.
Hi. Good to be back. Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. Now, since the last time you were with us, the entire world at large has changed, not just the wrestling world, but everything. I know independent wrestling in a lot of places has come back pretty much close to what normal is, but we're still in a lot of the country waiting for wrestling to return. I know you've had some shows during the quarantine era. What has the schedule been like for you these last several months?
It's been pretty hard. Like, I was very thankful that I managed to have a few bookings that are able to, adhere to the social distance regulations, as well as the, making sure all the fans backstage and talents wear their face masks in the locker room and during shows, keep a social distance and so forth. It's been a bit stressful, I admit, but once you are able to perform, given the small crowd, given that, we cannot be able to give high five to our fans and so forth. The energy from the crowd, appreciating that we are able to perform for them, that's honestly the force and the drive for us to keep doing what we do.
I know you are all over the map, all over the globe, really. You wrestle in normal times, in the United States, but internationally. For someone like yourself that wrestles out of the United States, now that the travel restrictions have been in place and so forth, do you find that it's a little bit different for you as far as your wrestling style, since you aren't wrestling people internationally as much? Do you have to kind of retune your game to work with the opponents here in the United States on a more regular basis?
You're as a performer, I have the advantage of knowing the expectation while going overseas. Like, certain cultures, they don't do very well when you approach them and give a handshake, for example. They prefer a wave instead. So I think that same mannerisms, I'm able to bring it out here into America, whereby everybody knows about the social distancing and they understand if you're going to greet, just wave, or elbow-to-elbow greeting or something along those lines. I do feel sad that my trips, my plans for overseas bookings had to be postponed, but, we're still keeping in contact. and they also are having a hard time as well. Many venues have to close down. Many sponsors have to, sponsors had to pause, and many shows had to be canceled. So for the ones that I managed to perform, I was very, very thankful because, you know, it's not very easy at the climate of the pandemic now. It's not easy. Us as workers, we're also taking a risk as well as the fans coming over to watch the shows. So it's a lot of pressure on everybody. That's the observation I can feel nowadays. At the same time,
absolutely,
you know, we're all trying our best we can. We used to have crowds that are like hundreds, and then later the capacity changed to like 50, and then suddenly became 25. It's harder on the promoters as well to sell tickets or try and make money or be able to pay the talent as well. So everyone, not just workers, are having a hard time as well. That's the best I can describe. But as for style, I modified a little to the point where I don't want to make people uncomfortable, because I know everyone gets all sensitive or being super cautious, so we all try to be more tolerant, for lack of a better word. Because if the certain actions you do now, like not shake hands, and back before COVID is normal, it'll be considered rude, right? So nowadays it's just a nod or a wave or elbow to elbow greeting. So that's fine. Everybody has to adapt, right?
Absolutely, especially in the wrestling business. The people that adapt are usually the ones that do well.
True. And at the end of the day, the fans are there to be entertained, and as long as everybody have a good time, that's the best feeling, honestly.
Absolutely, especially when the fans are your most loyal and most dedicated. You want to give them a little bit
the
extra, feel like it was worth it for them.
Yeah, agree. Totally agree.
Now, like everybody in the wrestling business, everybody had at least some downtime in the last year, whether it was several weeks or several months. Here on the West Coast, we're still waiting almost a year later.
Yes.
But
I heard West Coast that in California, a lot of shows have to be closed. I think even the schools have to be closed too, from my understanding. So
yes.
That's a bit tragic, very sad indeed. But many of their talents, they travel out. I heard they move into Texas and more in the Midwest area or Florida even. So if there's wrestling, there will be. We just have to wait for
the right
time.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Now, when you had your own downtime, did you have any particular workout regimen that you maintain in order to be ring ready for the time when you were able to get back to having matches, or did you have to adjust from anything that you were doing as far as working out and training, that type of thing?
I'll admit, during the downtime, during downtime, there wasn't much to do, so I admit my cooking at home became more improved a lot. So even my roommates and boyfriend told me that I made them gain weight. So at home, I do try to do high intensity interval training or HIIT a little bit at home, because there's not much you can do at home, but you try what you can. And bookings are usually never confirmed, because at the end there's always some changes, so you always have to remember at the back of your mind something's always going to come up, whether it's somebody got it could be anybody in the locker room got positive for COVID, it could be venue owner being pressured to not run shows, or it could be the regulations from the CDC just came out and said shut down now. So we're in a climate or a situation whereby anything goes, really. So I just remind myself that when it does happen, I'll be ready by then. So I've been going. Thankfully, in Colorado, our gyms are still running. So I'm pretty much making the effort to go to the gym while it's like 20 Fahrenheit outside. I still go because you never know when the next booking will come. And sure enough, like just yesterday, I got a confirmation for a taping in Colorado Springs for a match. So thankfully, I'm already doing my little bit of regimen at home and going to the gym anyway, just in case when there is a booking coming up and here it comes. there's no such thing as like, oh, because of one match or one booking, you prepare for that one. No, you keep grinding, you keep consistent and keep focusing, and eventually something will come because people will watch you and they will notice you. And that's what I firmly believe. Hard work will make people notice you. Yeah.
I definitely agree with you there. One of the things that's become very popular in wrestling in general, and in the era we're in now, it's becoming more popular on the independent circuit, is the cinematic style match, where you have matches that are kind of away from the ring and filmed in a more movie style for broadcast type of situation. What do you think of the cinematic matches that have been popping up all over wrestling?
I have mixed feelings about it. I do have mixed feelings about it. On one hand, if I look at it from an artistic point of view, I think it's wonderful. I think it's a wonderful way to give exposure to wrestling and, you know, have a different kind of crowd look at it and maybe appreciate it more than what normal wrestling fans would normally expect. So I think it's a nice medium for both non-wrestlers to appreciate wrestling and actual wrestler fans to watch wrestling as well together, if I'm making sense.
That does make sense. Have you personally done any of the cinematic matches yet, or is that something still on the to-do list for you?
It's on the to-do list for sure. I never consider myself camera ready or worthy to be in camera half the time. I just wrestle. That's all I'm all about. I'm up for a good brawl, and that's how I've always been about. So this cinematic approach that's coming in, it's why not? I'll give it a try. No harm, right? What else can I do? Not only did I do no ring shows, I've done no ring death matches. So if I can do all those without any fear, cinematic, worth a try. Why not?
Absolutely, especially with them being kind of on the upswing in popularity.
Yeah. Yeah, it helps if you're like some supermodel, yeah. But, I mean, there, you know, at the end of the day, art can be in many forms. So I look forward to it, honestly. See where it goes and just adapt and evolve as you go. Yeah. There's some wrestlers that are fantastic in front of the camera, but not so fantastic in other areas. And there's other people who are not fantastic in front of cameras, but they're fantastic in other areas. So, yeah, this will be a good challenge. That's how I look at it. Every day when you see a challenge, some people would dread it and go like, it's not real. I feel weird. I'm staring at a camera. Well, times have changed. People are going to be watching their phones, their tablets, their TVs. They're not going to come to live shows anymore, so you have no choice, really. You want to be in it, you got to adapt.
Absolutely. You talked earlier about some of the venues that have closed down, and unfortunately some of them have, but everybody that is in wrestling always has those few venues that they love to go to perform in, and it's just their favorite building where they get to go. What would you say are some of your favorite venues where you've wrestled?
One of them, I admit, in Colorado, Denver, Colorado, it's a famous, I guess not famous, very old relic movie theater or live theater called the Oriental Theater. That one's one of the venues I find beautiful because it's how you see it when you stand backstage and look at the bright lights and the beautiful curtains and the chairs from the ground level and the balcony level, just like how you see in, ballet recitals or freaking live acting theater. And then here you are wrestling in this kind of a beautiful setup. Yeah, definitely the Oriental Theater in Denver, Colorado is definitely one of my favorites. My other favorite would be the last time I was at, I think, Texas, San Antonio, Texas, huge hall. I forgot the whole name, but I think it's called Woodlawn. I'm not sure. But a lot of wonderful shows are at that venue, too, at San Antonio, called Woodlawn.
One of the things that we also lost in the last year is the what was going to be the last season of GLOW. Netflix ended up deciding not to run the last season as planned. But GLOW, when it debuted on Netflix, seemed to ignite quite a bit of popularity with women's wrestling. It sort of brought to mind not only the classic 80s GLOW, but also just women's wrestling in general. What were your opinions on the show?
I find it very Hollywood. Very, very Hollywood. As a worker, as a person who's seen it all behind the scenes and live it, I think it was a very, very, very Hollywood approach. But the cast for the show, I think they were fantastic choices. Overall, in my opinion, I find the GLOW a bit Hollywood. I don't know how else to describe it.
I understand exactly what you mean, for sure.
It's not that perfect. It's not that perfect. Some of the really good talents don't even get noticed, the way they did. So.
Now, I don't think you were around when the original GLOW was airing, but have you gone back and watched the original GLOW, and do you have an opinion on what the original GLOW promotion was?
I saw a bit. I've watched a bit of the original GLOW. I find it definitely fits the genre of that era, the 80s. So when each of the characters come out with their, I guess, jingle or their catchphrase, I thought it was nicely done. You don't see that nowadays because I don't think wrestlers are asked to learn how to sing. So that was a little different for sure.
It was definitely a different product from everybody else at the time.
Different product, different expectations. Because back in the day, I believe if you want to be in front of the camera or if you want to be a superstar or celebrity, you got to firstly have the looks, like know your lines, secondly know how to sing, and finally know how to dance, from my understanding back in the day. So to see it on GLOW, which is the original GLOW, I do see a bit of that expectation or that kind of a framework in that show. But at the same time, like, it fits. It made sense. Why? And it just added it made the characters more charismatic somehow for their little jingles. I couldn't remember for word, but that's what I noticed about then and compared to now.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. Well, at this point, my co-host QT is standing by, and I know he has questions as well, so I'm going to pass things over to him for a bit.
Hi. Okay, cool. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Sangai. Hello, Tara. Welcome back.
Hi.
Tara, I saw your YouTube video entitled SPW Wrestle the Odds, Tyra Resume versus TJ. And this video
That was my debut match.
What's that?
That match was my debut match into the wrestling business. That was my debut match back in Singapore. As a wrestler, that was my debut match.
Well, that's what the commentators were saying. Was that TJ's first match as well?
Yes, it was both of our match. We trained together. Just a short story. When I was in Singapore, I was on contract working at a private school at the time. And I just happened to stumble on a tryout for Singapore Pro Wrestling. And they don't mind having women because they only had one female at that time. So I joined them, trained with them, and got my debut with them, hence that match that you just brought up. And TJ and I have been training for nearly, I would say, almost a year, give or take, 8 months to a year. And then we got our debut. So, yeah, the match that you just mentioned, that was my official debut match. And that was my match in Singapore. And then after that, that's when I got noticed to travel around Southeast Asia, then go to Japan, then go to Europe, and then my bookings into America eventually. So, yeah, that was my first match, just to let you know.
While you were in Singapore, did you take the opportunity to try the alcoholic drink Singapore Sling?
Yes, I have. One of my signature moves is named after the Singapore Sling, and I used it when I was in Australia. So, yeah, I have the famous Singapore Sling. You can definitely, I mean, if you want a novelty of it, quote unquote, the original one, Singapore Sling, you have to drink it from the Raffles Hotel, the famous Raffles Hotel in Singapore. So if you have the chance, supposedly that one is the original. And to be fair, it tastes quite nice, I dare say. A bit on the costly side, but it's quite nice, I dare say. And you enjoy the Raffles Hotel venue, I mean, the view, so. Just a side note. Yes.
Are there any truths to the rumors that you are down to one Singapore sling a night, but it's in a gallon bucket?
Oh, yeah, I remember that one. Nah. See, I'm not a Singaporean. That's another thing I would like to highlight. I understand in America, not everyone understands that every Asian has their own diversity, but myself, I'm more of a Thai and American mix. So in Thailand, we like our whiskey and we like our beer. So I usually would mix my whiskey with Coke usually.
Oh, okay. Now, do you like the Fireball brand whiskey that is favored by Brian on the animated cartoon? What is that, Brian? And anyway, Brian the dog, he likes Fireball whiskey. For a moment, I can't remember what.
Okay, I'm okay with Fireball. I'm okay with Fireball. I think in Thailand the most affordable alcohol is Black Label. So like my college friends and I would drink it like it's nothing after our exams to treat ourselves. But cocktails in Singapore, like Singapore Sling, is like, okay, I'm cool with that. But then my other favorite that I learned while living in Singapore, because you have so many expats and so many exports and imports and stuff, was definitely like the B-52 shot. And then to my surprise, when I come into America, not a lot of bars understand when I ask for like a B-52 shot. And they give me like confused look, and then my boyfriend would pull me aside and say, sorry, this is not Singapore where everybody is like very hoity-toity and very specific. So, I just asked for like maybe a screwdriver instead.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Now, speaking of the B-52s, have you ever used the song Rock Lobster as your entrance music?
No, I haven't, but I might be tempted.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. That or the girl from Ipanema, they sing that song, the B-52s.
Cute.
Yes.
All right. Consider it. Thank you for the idea. So what was your question? Sorry, Matt. I apologize for digressing.
Oh, no problem. Tara, are there any truths to the rumors that your opponent, TJ, in that debut match of yours, had those initials because at one time she held an age group record for the hop, skip, and jump, better known in track and field as a triple jump? Are there any truths to those rumors?
I don't believe that. I don't believe so. I think that's definitely a false. Because here's a fun fact about TJ. Here's the fun fact about TJ I'll just share with you. TJ has siblings, and they are all triplets.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Triplets.
So I had fun trying to figure out which one is that one TJ. And all three of them are very much alike, identical. And I was like, ah, bloody hell, I can't even figure out which one you are. So I had to, like, whack one of you and figure it out.
Oh, okay. Wow.
So, yeah, they would get good.
Well, Tyra, did you know that the current record in the triple jump is 60 feet even, and it was set in August 7th, 1995, by Jonathan Edwards of Great Britain. And you can go on YouTube and see this. Did you realize this?
No, I didn't. Jump. Oh, I didn't. Oh. I definitely know it's a Brit. I definitely know that.
Wow, okay. Well, Tyra, are you a big fan of Lord Jonathan Boyd, one half of the tag team called the Kangaroos that wrestled in Portland, Oregon in the late 70s and early 80s? And also, are you a big fan of Playboy Buddy Rose, who wrestled Lord Jonathan Boyd quite a bit?
I would dare say yes. Buddy Rose for sure.
Oh, okay. You can also, if you choose not to look up Jonathan Edwards, the 60-foot triple jumper, you can also go on YouTube and look up Lord Jonathan Boyd. He carried a boomerang, in Australia boomerang, to the crow's nest where he would give interviews.
That's fun. Sounds like a cool guy. I do have friends in Australia too. And my tour in Australia was also wonderful. Opportunity. I got to meet an independent names, one of them by the name of Madison Eagles, and she was featured in Shimmer a couple of times. So to share a locker room and, you know, be acquainted with her was quite a wonderful opportunity as an indie to just see all these wonderful talents all around the world.
Wow.
Yeah, Madison Eagles was definitely one of them in Australia that I met, and I was like, wow, the Madison Eagles, who was, I think, two-time champ in Shimmer, I believe. And she's super, like, super beautiful in person. The camera doesn't do her justice. And wonderful talent, fantastic. So another one I got to meet, I believe you may recognize her at AEW a couple of times last year, Amy Sakura and Riho. So when I worked with them, when they came into Singapore and to Thailand, Thailand's my home country, you know, and to see them later on the big screen at AEW, I was just like thinking to myself, honestly, the camera doesn't do any of them justice. In person,
wow.
They are amazing.
How tall is Madison Eagle? Does she top out at 5'10"?
She's definitely like 6 foot.
Wow.
I'm kind of short. I'm 5'1". I'm not that tall. But when I stand next to her, and she's freaking strong too. Yeah, she's like 6 foot. Definite super tall. and gorgeous. Gorgeous mother as well. As you can see,
very
I admire. Very, 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 I mean, I'm not all about the titles and all, I mean, I just kind of push myself to be the best I can, and you meet these fantastic independent names that you meet along the way, and it just keeps you going, really. The other person I met along the way, I believe, was, I'm not sure if you remember, FMW in Japan back in the day. I got to meet Ricky Fuji, nicknamed Sexy Storm. He's like, at his age, he can still go at, like, I think early 50s, I believe, and he still got it. He can still get the crowd to cheer with his, you know, very, very seductive moves and so forth at his entrance. But, yeah, he can still go hard. Still hit hard. I also got to meet, what's his face, Buki Jr., the son of the great Kabuki. I got to meet him as well, and he looks exactly like the dad, exactly like the great Kabuki. When you look at the face and you look at the father's old pictures and all, exactly the same face. So you definitely know that's his son.
Oh, wow.
And he's really cool. He's fantastic. He's like hard hitter, because when he gave me a good forearm, I thought I was going to die, and I just held it together. I'm like, nope, I'm not going to drop. I'm not going to drop. Man, he hits really hard. But the backstage, he speaks really decent English, and very, very nice person in overall. But in the no ring brawl underground Japan, when I met him and met Ricky and met everyone else, yeah, it's quite an experience. So to sum it all up, everywhere I've gone, and I got to meet so many amazing talents, you learn a lot from them, and you just build your network along the way, really.
Well, Tyra, forearms and semi-consciousness is a subject that is often covered on Turnbuckle Turmoil. Have you heard of a female wrestler named Mickey Knuckles, who is known for
yes.
her forearms? Oh,
yes.
Okay.
I've been watching her, and I do see, I mean, I met Madman Pondo as well, so I've heard wonderful things about her, really, and I hope maybe, since I'm in the indies, eventually we will meet. I do hope so. That's the beauty about being in the independent scene. You never know who you're going to meet.
Well,
and then
yeah.
when you see them on the screen later, you're like, man, I know her, or I know him. It's kind of cool. Hey, I knew that guy, or I knew her. Nyla Rose was another talent. I met her when I was in Japan. I was on tour in Japan. Nyla Rose was in Japan with a company called Marvelous. And I even told her back then, I said, hey, you're going to be a superstar. And once you are, you better not forget. Don't forget about your buddy me, okay? So she never forgot. We still kept in good contact while she got signed to AEW. She's still the same humble, beautiful soul that I always love until date. So all I got to say is that I'll never trade this life, this wrestling life, ever. I won't. I'll keep going as long as I can.
Wow. Very good. Very nice. Okay. All right. Well, Tyra.
I'm not sure what kind of thing to do, but yeah, just share.
Well, Tyra, if you freeze the video of your match with TJ at the 1 minute and 27 second mark, you were in a lockup with TJ, and a viewer at this point of the video can see TJ's right leg planted, and she is wearing a blue Converse high top tennis shoe. In your
yeah.
opinion, was TJ risking injury to her ankles because unless they are modified by a thin titanium mesh, high top tennis shoes have been known to fail in the wrestling ring?
She's correct. From what I remember, TJ chose, I mean, she didn't really have a proper gear like I did. Like I said, it was our debut. And tennis shoes, yeah, it was her preference, but she was mostly light on her feet. She was definitely the very, very light on her feet type of person, so it wasn't a major issue with her, from what I understand.
Okay.
So from what I remember, yeah.
Okay.
We haven't spoken since. We haven't spoken since.
Okay. Well, speaking of her blue Converse high top tennis shoes, are you familiar
yes.
with a brand of tennis shoes that were produced from 1966 to 1973 called Red Ball Jets?
No, I haven't, but are they the sort that's similar to Converse? If you don't mind me clarifying, is it similar to them or not really?
Yes, I think they were a branch or a subdivision or brand of Converse shoes, and they had a black Red Ball Jet on the heel of the shoe. Very popular, Red Ball Jet.
Well, you can't go wrong with, like, looking kind of futuristic. It kind of makes you think about that Hermes god one of those gods that do messaging or something. He had, like, interesting things on his heels, too, wings in particular.
Oh, yes. That's kind of like that florist delivery person, the god, Greek god.
Yeah.
Yes. Pegasus,
yeah,
I think.
I'm teasing.
Okay.
I'm just teasing.
All right. Well, Tyra, we here on the Turnbuckle Turmoil Show are somewhat experts of video analysis, and you were already gave your height. I was going to guess that it was 5'2 1/8 in my video analysis, and I was going to guess that in your match with TJ, you were a trim 119 3/4 pounds. Was I close?
I'm the bigger girl in all of Southeast Asia, so I'm the bigger heel, to be fair. Everyone else, including TJ, are roughly like, what, 100, 110 pounds. At the time, I was about 130, 125, if I converted correctly into pounds, about 125, 130, flux in between there. But, yeah, definitely the bigger girl compared to the other girls in the region. Alexis Lee, she's the main girl for Singapore. TJ eventually moved to the competitor. That's why we're no longer in speaking terms. Then you got Crystal, who's in the Philippines for PWR. And you also got Malaysia. You got Phoenix. She's also part of the MYPW, Malaysia Pro Wrestling, but they changed their company to be Apex. AT, I believe. China never had a woman wrestler, but they've been around for a while, the Middle Kingdom Wrestling. And Vietnam, they have wrestling too, but they don't have a female in their division. And then India, WrestleSquare, a company called WrestleSquare, they got a female there named Mona. So, I mean, not that many big girls, that's what I was trying to say. The only exception will be when I go to New Zealand, Australia, and come to America. Everyone is a lot taller and bigger than I am. So I had to adapt and work accordingly. I'm more of a brawler and a striker anyway.
Do they have any big female wrestlers in Australia that carry boomerangs, like Lord Jonathan Boyd?
Wow, not really. They're big, but they don't carry boomerang. One girl I can think of her, I think her ring name, I think she goes by Steph. I can't remember the last name, but her gimmick or persona is like the like a python. She's as strong as a python and will squeeze you alive.
Ooh,
so
man.
kind of like what they're, you know, come from Australia and that's what you're kind of expecting. But man, when you meet her, she's a wow, mean powerhouse. So it works. She'll either catch you and crush you or really, really toss you. So I like her. I met her. And I foresee her coming out because one of the talents, I think her friend, girl by the name of Indy Hardwell, I believe, I can't remember, just signed also into NXT not that long ago. So, yeah, a lot of wonderful talents in Australia that I've met along the way. that are fantastic, honestly. Another one I hope to meet eventually, or maybe she'll come out here into America, named Shaza McKenzie. Fantastic talent as well. Super vibrant, very, very likable, and very, very crisp. Love her as well.
So, she sounds like she's from the Highlands of Scotland. She's from the Highlands of Scotland. Yes, McKenzie.
a lot of the, I guess in Australia, a lot of the mixing, a lot of people mixing about after so many generations living there, many from UK and other European countries moving to Australia. So you do have a fantastic mix of people there too, not just America. That's what I was trying to say.
Okay. All right. Boy, I sure hope I make it to Australia maybe and see Perth. That's what I'd like to see, Perth.
Oh, Perth is fantastic. It's not big, like crazy big city like Melbourne and Sydney. Not crazy hectic.
Yeah.
It's a nice like small city, so it's like for leisure, short trip. Yeah, I definitely would say Perth. I have friends there too. That's where I did my Australia booking, was mostly in Perth. Those couple of times. I worked with a company called New Horizon Pro Wrestling, and that's how I met Madison Eagle, was the women's tournament at that city. And she definitely was someone that stood out for sure. A lot of fantastic talent for sure.
You mentioned Madison Eagle in Australia?
Yeah, I met Madison Eagles in Australia when I was there at Perth at the women's tournament. So it was definitely someone that you definitely don't like pretend you don't see. You do see.
Does she have a forearm as hard as Mickey Knuckles? That's a good question.
She's pretty strong. I would say they're just as strong as each other, both respectively in their own right. They're both strong in their own right, I would say.
Wow. Oh, but wow, okay.
Knuckles eventually, I do hope. Because in the independent scene, you never know. Anywhere in the country, in this country, out of country, you never know who you're going to meet.
That's
and
true, yeah.
How you carry yourself and who you are acquainted with, that makes a difference as well. Yeah.
In that video with TJ, the referee was not wearing the standard zebra stripes of black and white.
Nope.
Did you mention this to the FPW commissioner?
No, I mean, I'm not in the position to tell the management what to do. I think it was just as clean. I think they're trying to go for the clean, professional look, and referee. The referee was also very likable as well. Even the crowd would give him a lot of heat or a lot of grief when he, you know, when certain spots happen, he'll be like, wait, it's not me. No, it's not. No. He's wonderful. He can think on his feet. He's very on. So referee at the time, I remember, yeah. They were allowed to wear, as long as it's collared, if I remember correctly, the shirt is collared shirt, I think it's acceptable. But the striped shirt, I think it's, that one was not brought up before. But I do remember
okay.
He was allowed to wear a collared shirt as long as it's clean and not so sloppy looking. So, yeah.
Okay. Tyra, at the 4 minute and 48 second mark of the match, TJ down on the mat with a huge shoulder block. I was reminded of Don Morocco at this moment. Were you a big fan of Don Morocco yourself?
No, I never thought of that, really. that's an interesting comparison. I really
okay.
never thought of it. You know, the shoulder tackle, and I'm like giving her the, you know, my persona, like, oh, yeah, you think you're that good? At the time. I never thought of that comparison. So, thank you. I never thought of that.
Oh, that's no problem. Have you ever gone on YouTube and looked up Don Morocco and Mr. Fuji as Miami Vice?
No, or I haven't, but maybe I'll take a look later, yeah.
I sit you with Fuji Vice. I highly recommend that video, yes.
Okay, sure. I'll definitely look it up.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Tyra, in a seminal moment on the animated show South Park, Jimmy and Timmy are accepted into the Crip Street Gang as Roller and Four Legs after smoking 12 Bloods at the Ribs and gas station. My question is, do you think your opponent TJ could thug animatedly with Timmy and Jimmy on an animation screen?
I think so. I think so. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's too easy for me, but I'm sure she'll have fun.
Oh, okay. Well, Tyra, we play a game on Turnbuckle Turmoil called Bring On the Choice, Bring On the Funk, and you have to make a choice between two subject matters, keeping in mind that there are no wrong choices, just maybe unpopular ones. Are you ready to play Bring On the Choice, Bring On the Funk?
All right, I'll try.
Okay. Married with Children or Seinfeld?
Ouch. Really?
Yes.
I'll choose Married with Children over Seinfeld.
Okay, all right. Valentine's Day or St. Patty's?
St. Patty's.
All right. Single leg takedown or front face lock?
Front face lock. I'll pick.
All right. Diving crossbody or double axe handle?
Diving crossbody. That's one of my signature moves.
Okay. Diving crossbody. Okay. The Million Dollar Man or Bam Bam Bigelow?
What? Bam Bam Bigelow, for sure.
Okay. All right. Easter or Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving. I got a little food. You got to pick food.
Oh. All right. Okay. Golden Gate Bridge or St. Louis Arch?
I've been to the Golden Gate Bridge. I haven't gone to St. Louis Arch yet. So I guess I'll pick St. Louis Arch.
Oh, okay. All right. Roddy Piper or Sensational Sherry?
I'm sorry, Sherry. I'll take Rowdy. I love both, but I'll take Rowdy.
Fantastic. Okay. Sweet Chin Music by Shawn Michaels or Master Lock Challenge by Chris Masters?
I'm a brawler, so I definitely would do Sweet Chin Music. Sorry, Chris Masters, okay. You're handsome, but sorry.
Okay. The Longest Yard with Burt Reynolds or The Longest Yard with the Great Khali?
Great Khali.
Okay. Do you like it when he was playing ping pong with Adam Sandler? That's my question.
One more time.
Well, did you like the part of the movie where the Great Khali was playing ping pong with Adam Sandler?
Yeah, I did.
Oh. Oh, all right. And the last one, Bobby Lashley or John Cena?
Bobby Lashley. I've always think of him as a fantastic athlete. Perfect package. For real.
Oh, okay. Well, Tyra, it was good talking with you. Hopefully you can go on YouTube and look up that 60-foot triple jump by Jonathan Edwards. And at this time, I'm turning it back over to Sign Guy.
Sure thing.
Thank you, Sign Guy. Tyra, one of the things that a lot of wrestlers – get into doing at some point in their career, especially down the road when they're a few years into it, is the promoting aspect. Is promoting wrestling something that you personally have ever considered doing?
So far, that's what I have been doing since I started. Try to promote wrestling everywhere I go, even awkward dinners with my non-wrestling family and friends. You still get the funny look. Even today when I tried looking around for a clinic to do the, physical health check to do the license to work in Kentucky. And the lady asked, "Is it for your child?" And I said, "Nope, it's for me." And she sounded surprised. So I guess being in wrestling, you just, as long as you promote it, speak it, live it, I guess that's promoting as well, isn't it?
That is. Well, we have a few minutes left here on the show, and I want to make sure you have ample time. If there is anything that you would like to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything and everything you got, upcoming shows, social media, merchandise, your favorite charity, anything in the world, floor is yours.
Ah, okay. Let's see, I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Fans or everyone could find me, but with my name. Twitter, I'm still not used to it, so I'm still figuring it out, but, you know, everything's a learning process. Let's see, I'm not sure what else to say for having me. It's been a while since I've done a interview and a podcast, so thank you for having me back. I do have an upcoming show. I just did a show in Detroit, and it was for a no-ring death match, and I won the Neolite Bar Fight title, so I'm the first of this brand to be holding this title. So that's a lovely novelty, lovely status. I have an upcoming match. I just got confirmed today at Colorado Springs tomorrow. And on February, I would also have another title match upcoming as well. So as an independent, I guess my advice to everyone who's listening or make the time is love yourself, believe in yourself. Not everything is perfect, but do the best you can. And then more importantly, have fun. That's something I have to remind myself every time. And a good reminder will be a good thing to get by, especially during these dark times and pandemic and the COVID and everything. So I hope this is suffice.
Absolutely. And I want to thank you again for being on the show today. We definitely appreciate having you on. Hopefully when things open back up here in the West Coast, we'll cross paths again on a show. And definitely best of luck to you in your career. I think you're doing great, and I'm sure things are going to be even better here in 2021 for you.
For sure. Likewise to you.
All right. Well, fans, definitely, if you aren't familiar with the Exotic Panther, make sure you check out the YouTube and their social media. She's a fantastic talent. Definitely you're going to be hearing more from her as she advances in her career. And also, Tyra, I will throw out, I have been in the ring with Mickey Knuckles. She throws a mean forearm, so be careful of that.
I love it. I'm all about it. Thank you for the advice, and I look forward to it. If I ever do meet her and have that chance, I look forward to it. Thank you.
Absolutely. She's fantastic. So, fans, we will be back with you on Sunday afternoon. This coming Sunday, we have the return of the Hooligan, Jared Savage, to the show. And in 1 week from today, it's the return of one of the Pacific Northwest's best-known wrestlers, Diafula the Butcher Dabashi. Always an exciting time when Dabashi swings by the show. And I would also like to throw out happy birthday to the late Tommy Gilbert, who we missed down here. And also happy birthday to Mama Sangai. It's her birthday as well. So happy birthday out there. And we will talk to you guys soon. Be safe out there and support your local independent wrestling wherever it may be.
Passenger.